We rolling, Adam?
We're rolling,
just
big.
Live to tape to air to digital format.
Evergreen is what I like to call it, D-Roy.
Well, it's your boys, D-Roy and Adam, the accountant.
Rolling with tax season. I know we love tax season. I'm in the thick of it. You know what I'm saying?
You know it's tax season because, one, I haven't got my taxes done.
Yep, that's true.
You're getting new Death Piles and Taxes episodes because I know where to find Adam, and he's not off gallivanting around the globe.
Yeah, that's right.
And three, it's still kind of cold outside.
It is a little cold. Those are the three things. If it's cold and it's tax season and Derek still hasn't done his taxes, you will get new episodes of Death Piles and Taxes.
I have a new appreciation for what you do, just trying to get all my stuff squared up.
Jeez. I have a weekly meeting with one of my old partners and his new firm and all the guys that work there because taxes are difficult. There's a strange new credit, like I said, solar credit something, but also if you put in a new furnace, new windows, it significantly increased to where there's a potential of a 30% credit up to $600. And if you have a cat named Simon, now it's a $1,200 credit. And if you breathe and you vote, then you get like another $700. And then if you can walk backwards and chew gum, you get another $350 credit minus the limitation if you make over a certain dollar amount. And there you go.
Well, I need to go start practicing my bubblegum chewing. I got a couple cats named Simon I just adopted, and I'm feeling a lot better.
This is the craziest part, and we were talking about another issue dealing with people that are influencers who make money online. There's a credit or basically a deduction called a QBI credit if you're self-employed, qualified business income deduction. Basically, it reduces how much you pay in taxes. It depends on what your profession is. An influencer probably doesn't qualify, but if you're a filmmaker, salesperson, you do qualify. So,
like me.
That's right. So that's what I talk about is there's so many things with tax law, especially because when these bills are passed, like they are 2,700 pages and it's just a little line item. And definitions are so vague that, sometimes it's like, hey, what do I do? And I'm like, well, we can do two things, Mr. D-Roy. We can roll the dice, and I think I can justify what it is, and we'll see if the IRS comes back. And there's a chance you might have to pay back $1,000, $12,000. In your case, rolling the big dice, $15,000. Or, like, let's do it. Let's see if they say anything about it. So it just really depends on how risky you're willing to go, big man.
You gotta risk it for the biscuit.
I love it. So,
but I don't really get into my real job a whole lot on the air for a couple reasons. One, I want to keep it.
Oh yes.
Two, you never know who's listening. I'm on a list thing today. I've just noticed. And three, it's kind of boring for the most part. But that brought up some things.
Oh boy.
Where I work, it's very regulated.
Yes.
We deal with consumable products that people can ingest, supplements.
Oh, yeah.
So, you get the wrong amount or something's bad, you can make a lot of people sick. Not good. No, not good. So we have what are called, we have procedures. I guess I don't need to get into the real thing of everything. Nobody cares. But
Gaylord of honey.
We got procedures. So you have to receive things. They have to be tested. It has to be microbes need to be done so people know that it's safe to consume and to sell, and you have lot numbers and a whole traceability, kind of like you're saying with the IRS.
Yeah.
So the other day, we get a box.
Oh, boy.
And there's nothing on this box.
Uh-oh.
No identifiers, no label, just a box. And obviously that sets up red flags. And then there's another box with it that's missing some things.
Oh.
Inside the box is just some plastic bags. Plastic bags. Kind of different. Well,
what kind of place do you work at again?
Exactly. And
was there white, like, residue on any of these things?
There's a lot of white residue where I work.
Okay.
Colostrum, Adam. White residue.
Okay.
You do the math. So anyways, it sits for like a couple of weeks. And then eventually somebody sends an email like, hey, have you seen these things? And, you know, I'm working adjacent to it. It's part of the warehouse, but I take care of the shipping and do my driving and all that thing. So I just kind of, I get to hear conversations.
Yeah.
I get to voice my opinion on, you know, what we used to do because I've been there long enough that now I'm the grizzly old vet.
Oh, yeah.
I can say, well, I remember back, you know, 8 years ago when something like this happened. But anyway.
Back when I took the horse and buggy up to Salt Lake.
Yeah, yeah. So, because everybody else is newer than me in my department. It's kind of weird and kind of, this is what it is. So, anyway, where's this stuff at? Oh, it's sitting here. Well, how come it hasn't been received? We need to, because we have a convention coming up. And so what these were going to be is little sample things. They put sample pills, as it were, and had distribute them out.
Create the addiction.
So like you're saying, yeah, they're little baggy pills. You're going to put in your goods, your colostrum packets,
or what have you.
And you're going to hand them out by the hundreds, and that's what it was going to be.
See what happens.
Seems simple enough, right?
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, they're sitting here. Okay, we need to get them because we got this coming up and we get producing. Yeah, problem is we can't receive them into the system because you don't have all these things, and we need all these things because you've created a system where...
Yeah, you got to say the lot number, where it came from.
Yeah, and you got to have it so that we can put in this all internal mumbo-jumbo. Okay. And that goes for a couple days of just emails. And I just get to see it. And I don't smile, but I'm like, I'm just so glad I'm not involved. Because it goes up the chains, down the chains. And, well, we need to do this, but you need to do that. But we can't do that because in our SOPs, it stated that you have to do it this way. But you can't do it this way because we don't have this. And like, can we contact the vendor and get this and that? And just a mess. And so one of the higher-up CEO, it wasn't the CEO, but a couple letters.
C-suit
says, I think this was like 2 days ago, like, this is ridiculous. This should have been going 3 weeks ago.
Oh, boy.
Kyle, what's the hold up? This needs to get going because we need this done. And they explain everything. And he says, okay, well, I'm going to write a deviation.
Oh, boy.
Now, a deviation is, I know we got all these set rules, but for this one time only, we're not going to follow these rules. And it's okay because I said so, so to say.
Oh, yeah. You get that in writing because you see, what is it? CYA? Yeah, you CYA, yeah, yeah, on that one.
So, okay, great. We're going to have this all going. My team, my boss, everybody got all their parts done because they know this is a hot thing. So they get it all ready to roll and like skip it's all ready. All they need to do is slap a sticker on a box, and they can go do whatever they need to do with it.
Yeah.
And they just get the thumbs up. Well, another C-suit higher than this guy says, no, that ain't going to work. You can't just do that. And no one says another word of why or whatever.
Okay.
We're thinking, this is going to be, I mean, because you get these higher levels.
Oh, yeah, this is going to get interesting.
This is going to get interesting. I'm not sure exactly what happened, but I do know yesterday before I left, we were able to put a sticker on the box, put it to another department, and do the old washing our hands. Not our job no more. So, who knows? Who knows?
And I'm going to I try to dumb this down for the accountants that are listening. Basically, what's happened is they got a batch of candy, and they need to make sure they know where this candy came from in case all of these samples go out and somebody grows a third arm or loses a leg or something, a bad reaction, so they know which batch it came from, so they don't got to get rid of all of the candy in the entire store.
No, which bag and which box. But the thing that reminded me of this whole thing was when you said IRS and there's all this paper, all these, and you just kind of figure out where in there it works for you, and you can just kind of make some fit. They have all these rules and regulations, and all of a sudden, if somebody's just like, well, that doesn't work for me, here's a deviation that can bypass all this, and I can justify it this way.
Yes.
Kind of the same. It's
statistics. This is what I've learned. You're bringing back actually one of the courses that I paid a lot of money to say that I'm smart from the university I went to, which is all about greens, dollar bills. That's what I like. I'm not red. I'm not blue. I'm green. I take it from everybody. Standard deduction.
I've heard that before.
Not standard deduction, standard deviation. Basically, the C-suits are battling with each other to see, is the margin of error of potentially something happening great enough that we're willing to risk it for the biscuit? Or if we're going to just say, you know what, we got to bag this because there might be a bad reaction with the candy. So
it's kind of like the government of like, well, my buddy's got a business that does the, you know, window panes or whatever you're talking about. And boy, it sure would be nice if he could get more business, but we could incentivize tax breaks.
Yeah.
And well, that doesn't really fit here. But if we write this and this code in here and we put 100 and you get somebody that wants to go through all on the lines and say, oh, right here, though, it says this is okay. The SOP now states, the tax code now states that in this circumstance, during this time frame, it's okay to bypass this and this and this to get this, this, and this, and it's all a game.
And now if you have a dog named Leroy, then you qualify. It's these qualifiers that are so many, you know, levels deep that you don't know. And here's the reality is a lot of the times that people might come in and say, well, you can't do that, or this is the problem. You know more about it than they do because they just got hired 6 months ago and they're still reading their owner's manual to figure out what their job is.
And you're kind of playing a little roulette, especially especially your way with the IRS. They got all the time and stuff, and eventually they'll get to it. It might be 20 years from now, and somebody's going to read it and say, oh, that doesn't look right to me. Red flag.
Yep.
And maybe they audit you, maybe they don't.
And
hopefully you have enough notes to go in and say, no, at the time, here's what we did and this is why. And they either decide to dig in or not. Most of the time, human nature's not going to dig in unless it's, like, pretty blatant. Continual, obvious. That's why it's good to keep your mileage.
Keep it in order.
Yeah.
And it's funny because you said that'll kind of roll us into the next point. You know, going back to influencers, there seems to be a lot of people online that will tell you how you should be doing your taxes. You know, D-Roy and I, we've been doing this for a long time now. You know, people are now catching on. I mean, there's a lot of people that give you tax advice. And I'll just say this, you get what you pay for. You know, if somebody's giving you tax advice, telling you you should own your own business, and if you do, you can write everything off. And by own my own business, I mean, you know, travel to Hawaii and mark off this. But if you only brought in $1,000 and you took a $5,000 trip, that dog don't hunt. Like,
this is starting to feel personal, Adam.
Oh, no. I know what you bring in. You know, we have to add lots more zeros at the end of yours.
It's starting to feel eerily. I mean, it's a free podcast we do. We put out this information, and I've been to Hawaii a few times. I might have wrote some things off. Now I'm starting to think that you're warning me that the suits are coming in for us.
I'm just saying, hey, have you ever been to Greece?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
You know, just random question. But going into that, you know, you'll hear these things saying, well, if you own your own business, you can save money in taxes, which isn't really true because you still have to claim all of your income, and you're going to write off maybe some expenses that you can't write off as a W-2 employee because they're legitimate for your business. But you can't have a small little hobby and take losses continually and think that that's going to work. So that's paying your kids. Everybody talks about that. That's like the new hot thing, pay your kids. Well, if you do that, you have to pay Social Security and Medicare. And then you also have to have workers' comp. So whatever you think you're saving in taxes, it's going to cost you anywhere from 17 to 20% of what you're paying them. Yes, maybe you're at a higher tax rate and that will help you, but you have a lot of admin costs and all these things. So a lot of these things, I wish they had qualifiers, meaning, yes, it's a good idea to pay your kids through your business if your bottom line that you pay taxes on is more than $300,000. Not, I have a little gas station and I do this and I only make this. There's so many things that you really need to dig deep before you're like, I'm going to do that.
Yeah, you can go talk to somebody that knows what they're...
Yeah.
You just got to go get it figured out. Every situation's a little different, and with the tax code, who knows? If you do start your kids on the old payroll, though, do them a big favor and start that Roth IRA.
Oh, D-Roy, you are. I've been doing that.
Because your kids are going to be very grateful by the time they figure out what you did down the road.
Oh, and I've already done it. Like I said, I get the calculator. I've got my sons going. I've got my daughters I'm working on. I've got my little guys. And here's the best part is, you know, they have to have earned income.
Yeah.
You can put a maximum of 6,500. Now it's up to 7,000. You have to have that earned income. But now, you know, I make them come in here. Like, they come in and they clean, they work on the lawn. You know, they do lots of paperwork for me. So it's like legit. Going back to making my notes, we're making it too legit.
I'm no mathematician, but I'm just told you the dollar figures that you have to be making to do this with your kids. So he's doing all right.
Oh, boy. Look at D-Roy reading between those lines
the
there.
Tea leaves. I've never been to Greece, but I can read some tea leaves.
I will just say, like I said, this profession, it continues to get more complicated. You know, again, it's supply and demand. When there's a lot of demand because everybody's, you know, working. There's a lot of people that don't want to work for the man anymore, and they're starting to work for themselves. And, again, taxes, there's so many regulations. You've got to do payroll. Now you've got to have, you know, a lot of self-employed people have Obamacare health insurance, and there's income limitations. And then when your kids grow up, they have education credits. There's a lot of what ifs, and fortunately, I know how to run a lot of those situations. And normally, always my job is I want to save people more in taxes than what they pay me. And it makes it a win-win-win for everybody. So, and accountants are dying off and they're retiring. So it's a good profession to go into if you're thinking about it.
Yeah, kind of a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. we had some major things go on throughout the world.
Oh, yeah.
You know, not just... I mean, everybody knows what happened. I mean, it really shook up the old snow globe, I think. A lot of people stopped working, got new jobs, figured out, hey, life's too short, or, you know, I'm not happy what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah.
Or this could all end in a week if things just went wrong. So
right.
I think a lot of people are trying to evaluate and figure out what they want to do or how they want to do it. And, well, we're getting to that part now of it's kind of the first, not generation, but the first steps afterwards. You get kids that... coming out of high school and going into college and things that were like pre-pandemic kids. And
yep.
It's kind of weird that way. One thing Adam talked about that I kind of wanted to mention is there is a lot of misconfusion or whatever out there with the tax stuff. And I deal with it a lot at work. A lot of the people I work with aren't either from this country or aren't really highly educated. You know, it's not a highly, you don't go to college to work in a warehouse kind of field or you are to pay to go to college and you're working there. There's a lot of misconception out there when it comes to taxes. I like what you're saying. They hear on TikTok or whatever. If I open my own business and I can do this or I can do that, or I can do that. And people always talk about deductions. Well, you can deduct this, this, and this. And a deduction is not like a cashback rebate.
No.
A lot of people think it is that way. Like, if I start this business or I start trading my crypto or I start doing this and that and it's a business expense to do whatever, it's not necessarily a dollar for dollar like or rebate, because
yeah.
in employees' minds and people that work traditional like W-2 type things, you see a rebate. When you hear taxes, you think refund or pay. And when you're talking about your own business and getting those kind of deductions and stuff, it's kind of more of an offsetting of this is how much you make, this is how much you would be taxed, but you have expenses and things that go out. So it's kind of trying to make things justifiable or fair or more even of... because you started your own business or you're doing your own thing, the government's kind of rewarding that, that ambition. You took that risk, the kind of that American spiritism or whatever you want to say.
So, they're going to pay you for trying to get the biscuit.
Yeah. So, and it's weird. It doesn't happen in a lot of different countries. It's a cool thing. And if you're making a lot of money, it can really benefit you.
Yep.
But yeah, it could also... If you're trying to justify your worm farm business by the side of the road, that you have your little cooler outside on Sunday mornings or you do a lot of yard sales and you just are selling. I mean, yeah, you can deduct and do some different things, but you can obviously overdo it. A lot of people get into that hobby talk Adam's talking about, and they try to write off every expense, every meal, everything, and you brought in $500 and you're trying to tell the government, I brought in five, but I need to deduct $100,000 because... or $10,000 or whatever, because I did all this stuff. And somebody's looking at a spreadsheet. Yeah, I realize somebody's at a job, and they're just trying to find the easiest way to justify their job.
Oh, yeah.
And if you have all these red flags for the last 10 years, you've made, $30,000, but you've deducted, like, half a million or whatever. Oh, that's easy. Send somebody over there. I'm going to look like I'm going to get raised because I'm finding these people.
See, there you go. You're trying to move up that corporate ladder.
So you just try to make it look like, you know, you just try to make it look close.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you get a couple bucks back. Sometimes you don't.
It's ratios, D-Roy.
It's more horseshoes and hand grenades than an exact science.
Uh-huh. And we'll just... We'll kind of wrap it up with those. I guess these would be like tax mistakes, tax things. You cannot claim your girlfriend or boyfriend's kids. Even if you're a live-in and you think, well, we're married, unless you're legally married, you can't claim those kids.
What about the common, what's that, common marriage?
Common law. The IRS doesn't really, you know, you got to have a piece of paper. So, and that's actually one of the bigger ones that I see, especially kind of in this... I'm not sure the right way to say it. There's different cultures that think, oh, well, we're married. But then when you come to ask, well, are you really married? Like, oh, no, we just live together. And like, yeah, I've had that happen several times. So
the government likes documents and papers, whether you believe in it or not.
So it depends on what you're talking about, do you, right?
They like to see proof and evidence.
It depends on what you're talking about.
If you say that you're married and you want to take a deduction.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
They want to know that you have a piece of paper saying that you're married and take a deduction.
Yeah.
They don't care that you went up to the Spirit Lodge together and made a commitment with, you know, Brother... I was going to say like Flying Eagle or something.
Father Phil.
And didn't fill out paperwork, but had a connection, and that's what you did, and you're bonded that way, and you have a, you know, whatever.
Did you just say consummate the marriage? Is that what I heard?
I mean, if you got paid to do that, younger Adam would have been a rich man.
Hey, you know what? If you're trying to take your greatest honeymoon ever, there's no better place than Fillmore, Utah, you know, pulling off the side of the freeway just to...
Whoa.
It wasn't me. It wasn't me. MFB. Oh, that's all I'm going to say. So, hey, D-Roy, there's two things in life that are for certain, my friend, and that would be...
Death files and taxes.
Don't you see? There's only two things guaranteed.